Let's turn to Ezekiel 37, all right, as we read God's word today. Let's stand as we read Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 3 as a text, but we'll use the whole chapter, but we'll just read the first three verses. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 3. Ezekiel is a major prophet because there are more chapters in their books. And Ezekiel is one of the prophetic books of the Bible. But we'll just read the first three verses, all right? Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to verse 3. I'll read verse 1, you'll read verse 2, and then we'll all read verse 3. Then we'll pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, the Bible reads for us, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones." Verse 2. Verse 3 together. "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." That's a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we have an opportunity once again to hear your word. And Lord, I'm asking that as you led Ezekiel by the Spirit into that valley, we pray that today you lead us by your Spirit to see, Lord, the valley perhaps in our own lives. That as we begin this year, Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord, will lead and guide us in a pathway that will be honoring to you, to deal with things we need to deal with, and move forward by faith. We thank you for what you're going to do. I pray for every heart, Lord, that has a burden right now, that the preaching of your word will meet that need. Lord, I cannot meet that need. Only you can. And I pray for all of us, our hearts will be turned towards you, towards your precious word that gives us life, and give us a heart of obedience, Lord. And we'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Many years ago, in a small town, in a place called New England. Now, how many of you know where New England is? Okay, it's in America, okay? And New England is in America, and it's New England because the pilgrims that came from England set up a New England there. Does that make sense? The pilgrims came and set up New England. There was one small town called the town of Maine, M-A-I-N-E. In that small town, there was proposed a site of a great hydroelectric plant, and as a result, a great dam will be built. And it is said that since the dam will be built across that river there, the entire town will then be submerged. Okay, the town will be submerged. When the project was announced, the people were given many months to arrange their affairs and then relocate. All right, okay? During the time before the dam was built, the citizens noticed something very interesting. All improvements to the town ceased. No painting was done, no repairs were made on the buildings, the roads or the sidewalks. Day by day, the whole town just got worse and worse and worse. A long time before the waters came and destroyed the town looked like Tacloban. Oh, it's slightly better, right? But it was uncared for. There was nothing done to improve the town. It was like a town abandoned, even though the people had not yet moved away. One citizen complained, "Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Where there is no faith and hope in what God can do in the future, there is no power in the present." The Holy Spirit of God took Ezekiel, the Bible tells us, Ezekiel 37, the Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." So the Holy Spirit took Ezekiel, went into a valley, okay, the valley, and it was a valley full of bones, okay? These bones were dead men's bones. And in verse number 2, Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel was made to look upon the bone, and he said, those bones, and said there were two things about the bones. The valley was full of bones. There were many. And the bones were very dry. Have you ever seen dry bones before? And then if you just eat a chicken wing, right, if you break, you know, there's still some moisture, maybe a bit of... you can know that it's a bit moist. But when it's dry, it means that he has been dead a long time. He has been dead a long time. In the context of Ezekiel 37, Israel's hopes are gone. It was because of national sin and personal sin of the nation. If you look down Ezekiel 37, verse 11, all right, you just look down. God told Ezekiel, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, the people of Israel say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts." In other words, the Israelites have lost hope. Everything is dead, everything is dry, it's been dry a long time. The valley of dry bones here speaks specifically of the nation of Israel today. There is nothing else in this prophecy except that one day God is going to restore Israel and put life back into the nation again. The context of this passage is this. But I believe God wants us to learn something about restoration to our lives. God is asking us to look at the situation in our lives today as we begin 2014. Some of us have been Christians a long time and we know it. We also know that there are areas in our lives that we just cannot overcome. We just cannot overcome that lives, that the part of our lives. Sometimes people may say, oh, that's our life, I'm born with that kind of life. Or that's the kind of background I have, the people in my family, the people that I hang around with. That's my kind of background. We may have become Christians, but we live defeated Christian lives. Yeah, we have areas of victories, I'm sure. And for those who have been faithful to the Lord, God has been faithful to you. Amen? For those who have not sometimes been faithful to the Lord, God has still been faithful to us. Amen? But you know, sometimes parts of our Christian lives are not as strong as they should be. And every time we try to overcome, we just cannot overcome that. And as Christians, we live in conflict, not with others, but sometimes just with ourselves on a daily basis. The conflict is private between you and God and the very thing that you are facing. We face the valley of dry bones daily. We stare at the valley of dry bones knowing that we can do nothing about it. These bones are dead and they are dead for a long time. Some of us have resigned ourselves to the fact that we cannot change, neither can we change the situation. And so facing the valley of dry bones, or before that, before I say this, are you in that situation? That there are certain areas of your life, yeah, God has been gracious, God has been working, but you know, there are certain things in your life, maybe a big thing, maybe a small thing, but it's something that you just cannot get out. It's there, it's like a thorn in the flesh. Of course, in the economy of God's will, God has a purpose for the thorn. But there are certain things in life, as in the valley of dry bones, that God actually still has a plan, but we can't see it, we feel hopeless about it. Are you in that situation? Facing the valley of dry bones, looking at the hopelessness of the situation, look at verse 3, Ezekiel 37. And he said unto me, I want us to just stop there. You know the application there? You know, when I saw that, it was such an encouragement. When God brought Ezekiel, saw the entire valley of dry bones. Can you imagine what went through Ezekiel's head? What can I do? You know, it's kind of like, you know, the killing fields in Cambodia, where all you see, you know, some of the pictures, you may all just bones. You know? Can you imagine just seeing the whole bunch of bones? What can you do with a whole bunch of bones? And by the way, you cannot make soup with that kind of bones, I think you know. But what do you think Ezekiel is feeling when he saw? He knows that the valley of dry bones represents his nation. It's totally dry. It looks hopeless. Until verse 3, God spoke. Can I say this? Is there a Christian here who can identify with me also that sometimes when things are so hopeless, God comes in? Is there someone who can say that? Some of you are nodding your head. Sometimes in the darkest moments of our lives, the light of this world will not leave us alone. Amen? Our God comes to us sometimes at the darkest period of our life. You know why He has come there? Because we haven't been inviting Him before that. You know? And so God speaks to Ezekiel in the darkest moment of his life, and as he looked at the valley of dry bones, he said, "Son of man, can these bones live? What do you think the kind of question?" God is saying, "Ezekiel, do you think these dry bones can live?" Let's say if you are Ezekiel, Jeremiah, if you are Ezekiel, what will you do? If God came to you and say, "Jeremiah, can these dry bones live?" I don't know about you, but some of us may think, say what? They are dead. They are very dry. It's so long. It's so hopeless. Can these bones live? Ezekiel was asked by God, "Son of man, you as a human being, let me ask you, can these bones live? Can the broken down, listen to this, can the broken down situations that you have in your life be changed? Can relationships and families be brought back together again? Can sinners be brought back to Christ again? Can the sin that have controlled you for so many years be overcome? Can our children who do not seem to have any awareness of God walk with God? Can our loved ones be saved?" Can it? You know, sometimes we just kind of, I'll just read this quote. "The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold on me." There was a Sunday class, and generally this Sunday school teacher actually asked, it was an adult class, okay? So maybe if you want to contribute, you can. How many of you can share with me, in your time of discouragement, what is your favorite Bible verse? Anyone want to share with me? In your time of discouragement, what is your favorite Bible verse? Maybe this side, one person. What is your favorite Bible verse? Which is? Okay, Psalm 46, verse number 10. "Be still and know that I'm God." In times of discouragement, for Sister Mars, the verse that comes to her, "Be still and know that I'm in control." Right? For those who came to watch tonight, she shared about how God protected her family from Typhoon Haiyan. Thank God for that. What about this side? When times of discouragement, what's the verse that comes to your mind? Anyone? Just share. Anyone? Don't be shy. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. Anyone? Yes, Sister Rachel? "Can all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." 1 Peter 5:7. What a blessing. So in this particular class, during the Sunday school class, there was a young man who said, when times of discouragement, Psalm 23 verse 1 comes to my mind, which is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack any good thing, I shall not want." Then a middle-aged woman said, "God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble," Psalm 46 verse 1. And another lady stood up and said, "Well, teacher, my verse that comes to me is, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world," John 16:33, which was what Jesus said. And then it was this old Mr. John, this old man stood up. He was 85 years old. He stood up with all the strength he could muster, and he said, "In times of discouragement, this verse comes to me. I read in my Bible, 85 times the Bible says, and it came to pass." Then the whole class kind of, I think he's older, "and it came to pass." It's not even a promise. It's not even anything. And so, as the people laughed a little bit, and then they quietened down, Mr. John began to share. "At the age of 30, I lost my job. I got 6 children to feed, including my wife." Well, not children, excluding my wife, of course. "I don't know how I could make it." Those who know, in the 1930s, there was a Great Depression. In 1940s, during the Second World War, he lost his eldest son in the war, and it hit him so hard. And then in 1950, when he was 50 years old, his house burned down to the ground. He lost everything. He didn't know how he was going to build up from scratch again. When he was 60, his wife of 40 years contracted cancer. And he said, every night I kneel down and pray with my wife for the situation. At 65, the wife passed away, and he still misses a wife at 80 years old. And Mr. John said, you know, sometimes when I've gone through all this thing, I do not know how I'm going to get through them. But when he read the, he also wondered, where is God in my, when I was 30, lost my job, when 40, lost my son, 50, lost my house, and 60, lost my wife. Where was God? Until he read, and it came to pass. And God spoke to his heart in those words. It came to pass means to him, he felt that God was telling him, my pain and my circumstances were going to pass, and God was going to take me through it. Are you in that situation whereby you say, God, it's just hopeless? It's just hopeless. I'm not telling you that you will gain everything that, you know, when you look at this valley of dry bones in a message like this, I want to be careful to temper the hope. Because sometimes, wow, you know, in some churches, you say, wow, you're going to get back what you want. We have a false hope. But can I say this? I'm not telling you that you will gain the victory you dream of in every situation, but I'm here to tell you that as you trust the Lord, you will be victorious in your life. I don't know what kind of victory God's going to give to you, but he said you can be victorious as a Christian. I don't care if you have cancer. I don't care if you broke your leg. You can still be victorious. Amen? Amen? Paul was in prison. He was a victorious Christian. Amen? When Stephen was stoned to death, yeah, he lost his life, but he was a victorious Christian. God still used his testimony to influence others. Right? So what if the world takes everything away from us? We can still be victorious. And I believe God wants us to dare to trust him in 2014. There are too many Christians living in defeat. We are so controlled by situations. You know, one of the phrases I believe Christians should not have is, I have no choice. Yes, you do. God gave us a free choice. And you know, I want us to dare to trust God this year. God dares us in this verse when he says, Son of man, can these bones live? You know, perhaps God is saying, can the dry bones in your situation live again? Is God telling us today, hey, there's someone or something in your life that you just cannot change? Is God saying, do you think you can change that? Can the situation revive itself again? Many Christians live just resigned to that fate. God is daring us to trust him in the worst scenario in your life this coming year. I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's words, our Lord God, Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm. And the next verse is, there is nothing too hard for thee. In Matthew 19, 26, but Jesus beheld and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Christian, do you believe that? Do you believe that God can make you victorious? Now, I want to be clear again. I'm not saying that God's going to give you what you want. I'm going to say God will make you a victorious Christian. And that's important for us to make the distinction. Because we have in our minds, God, if you want to make me victorious, give me this 4D number. You know? Give me this lottery of... You know, in America, I think the biggest... jackpot, I think $625 million, I think the latest. But God, if you really got to me, show me your power. Give me the numbers that I need to write in this lottery. No. God doesn't give us the victory we want, because sometimes the victory we want is substandard compared to what he has for us. Amen? Just like sometimes children say, Mama, I want this pencil. But I want to give you a mechanical pencil, which will increase your skills. Thinking how to plan to put the lead in and things like this. God has a higher standard of his will for us. I want to be clear. I'm not saying that God will give you what you want. I'm saying that this year God wants to make you a victorious Christian if you dare to trust him. So how do we trust God? Based on Ezekiel 37, I want to draw up some principles that we need to have in order to trust God this year, so that God can make us victorious. Number one, look at verse number 3, 37 verse 3. God told Ezekiel, Son of man, can these bones live? What was Ezekiel's answer? Lord, thou knowest. You know, when Ezekiel said that, Ezekiel's thoughts, based on some commentators, and if you study the passage, you can make the connection. God, this is beyond me. God, I don't know how it's going to happen. God, these bones are dry, and it is many, and it's been dry a long time. God, I have no idea, but thou knowest. There are two things in this short, Lord, thou knowest, two things. Number one, Ezekiel had a heart of submission to God. I don't know, I don't have any clue what's going to happen, but God, I know you know. We need to face the situation with heart of submission. That you are not invincible as you thought you were. That your plans are not as smart as God's plans. And that your will are not as strong as what God can do if you allow Him to do that. Two things in this heart of submission. Number one, Ezekiel replied with faith in God's power. God, you know. I know if you want to raise these bones up, you can. Number one, he had a heart of faith. Okay, the first point is a heart of submission. Under that is faith in God's power. For God to do anything in our life, there must always be belief and faith. Because Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, for without faith it is impossible, zero possibility of pleasing God. For they that cometh to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them which diligently seek Him. The first step is faith. We need to have faith in God's power. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 19, it's in your verse. Matthew 17, verse 19 and 20, is it there? Matthew 17, 19, is there, right? There was a situation in the disciples' life. Anyone who knows the Bible, in Matthew chapter 10, in Luke chapter 10, I believe, God says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus gave this power to the disciples. Then in Matthew 17, the disciples came back and said, Lord, why could not we cast him out? But God, I thought you gave us, how come we cannot cast him out? You know what was Jesus' answer? Matthew 17, 20. And Jesus said unto them, the reason why you cannot cast him out is because of your unbelief. And I say this, some of you are trapped in your sin. The situation is because you have never learned to trust God in that situation. I'm not saying you never learned to trust God. But I'm saying that many Christians have to learn to trust God in every situation that comes up in your life. There must be faith to begin with, that God has power to do what He can in your situation. Hebrews 4 verse 2, let me just read. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Dear friends, some of you, I'll just say this, some of you will be the same at the end of this year. There will be no change in your life. You know why? You may come here faithfully, but when the word of God is not mixed with faith and trusting what God can do, there will be no change in your life. God's word was here for authority. Other people's lives may be changed, but you may say, God, this church must not be preaching well. No. No. The word is presented. We must mix it with faith. Matthew 13, verse 58, which is not there. Let me just read that. And Jesus did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. It's that simple. The Bible is very clear. Do you know many Christians don't overcome their life situations? You know why? Just simply because of unbelief. Simply because of unbelief. Now, how does unbelief manifest itself? How does unbelief manifest itself? Just very quickly, a few things. Loss of hope leading to inaction. We don't do anything anymore. Oh, I cannot help you anymore, Lord, so I just leave it, you know. That's unbelief. Not reading your Bibles is unbelief. Did you know that? Not reading your Bibles is actually unbelief. Because you don't realize the power of this word. You don't realize that God, who spoke this world into being, when God says, let there be light, there was power in God's word. Can I say this just in case people are thinking of the word faith movement, that power is not transferred to us. Hello? Okay? For some of us as independent Baptists, maybe we There is this movement that's called Name It, Claim It. You say, Uncle Roland, you will have $1 trillion tomorrow. And they say, Amen, you know, I'll claim it. That power is not translated to human beings. Only God has that power. And God doesn't use it for frivolous things. But you know, when God translated His word in the written form, in John chapter 6, verse 60, the Bible says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Which means the moment we will say, God, you say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Anyone who reads that and accepts it by faith, the promise is made real in that person's life. Does that make sense? Do you know why we focus on the Word? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. But you know what? That's not going to happen unless you trust what God says, as it is. We need to read your Bibles. Another way that unbelief manifests itself is an unchanged life. An unchanged life. Things just remain. You know, I've seen many times as pastor, people make decisions, but you know what? After that, things remain the same. You know why? Not mixed with faith. Oh, we felt convicted, so we made a decision, but you know what? We didn't follow up. After, we talk about that. But it's important, number one, we need to have a heart of submission with understanding of faith in God's power. But number two, under the first point, we need to also surrender to God's plan. When Ezekiel told God, God, this is beyond me. Only you know the valley of dry bones can come to life. Only you have the plan, you have the power, you have the idea what the Lord is beyond me. Number two, we need to learn to surrender to God's plan. Surrender to God's plan. You know what that means? It means this. There was one time when I was going to, I think I shared on Facebook one time, there was one time I was going to work. And you know when you're going to work, the worst thing you want, if it's going to have a thunderstorm, and you don't like to carry umbrellas. And so I pray, God, I have to go to work at somewhere in, where is that? Boon Lay, okay, from my place. I'm ready to take a train there. So this is what I pray. God, I pray you hold the rain until I reach my workplace so that I will be dry. Guess what? At the end of the day, I was still dry in my workplace. But God chose to do the reverse. He sent the rain first so that when I reach Boon Lay, then there's no rain. For some of us, God, why didn't you know in our life? Why didn't you answer my prayer the way I thought it was good? You know how many times when we pray in a certain thing, we are so hard and fast about what we think we want, but never thinking, God, actually, I have another plan, you know, which is better for you. Does that make sense? A surrender to God's plan. Many of us come to God with the contract. God, this is a contract for my life. Please sign on the dotted line. You know what God wants? You give me the contract. I'll give you the details. And you sign on the dotted line. Because it's for God, for us to submit to His will. Say, yes, Lord, I may not agree with your compensation. At least at this time. By the way, God's remuneration is always better than what we think. Amen? God always gives us 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold if we learn to trust Him. I'm sure you have heard of people who have cancer who can praise God. And as a result, people come to Christ. I don't know about you, if that's the way I have to live with cancer, that people come to Christ, God, let your plan be. Christians, are we surrendered to Christ? Do we have a heart of submission? Or are we trying to tell God what to do in our own strength? You know the earlier story of the town? The testimony goes on and says, the town was cursed with hopelessness because he had no future. Some of us, our lives will be cursed with no hope for the future. The author continues to say, maybe we let God into some parts of our hearts, the parts that are already neat and in order, the things that we are okay to do. But God wants to, this is in his words, God wants to invade our heart entirely and take control of the entire thing. And to be honest, I think sometimes God wants to do a complete renovation of our house. in our hearts. And one thing I learned about God, because He loves us so much, sometimes He needs to do it even if it costs us pain. That's how much God loves us. The surgeon will look at you and say, "Sir, if I do this, it will help you. You can fight it." But you know what the surgeon will say? "Firstly, I need to put you to sleep. You need to trust the surgeon. You need to trust the anesthetist that he don't overdose you." Do you realize every time you go for operation, you have to put your life completely in the hands of whoever that's taking charge? Do you fight with the surgeon when you are sleeping? It's just there. You do what you want. God wants that kind of submission. Christians, God cannot do the surgery in our heart if we keep running around and not willing to say, "God, you take my heart." Point number one, we must have a heart of submission. Point number two, or let me just read this verse first. Proverbs 3, verse 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Point number two. Let's look at Ezekiel 37, verse 4 to 6. "Again He said unto me," God said unto me, after God asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" He said, "Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them," stop there. No, not, "O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." If we live in a skeptical, if we question God on everything, you know what the skeptic will ask God? Say, "What? You want me to talk to something that's not living?" You know, I wanted to bring a big dry bone here. And I get one of you to talk to it and see whether the bone will respond to you. That's exactly what God told Ezekiel to. "I want you to go to that valley. I want you to actually tell the dry bones. Speak to the dry bones." And number two, the second point. In this situation, Ezekiel did not fight God, but did exactly what God. Number two point, in order to overcome the scenario in our life, worst scenario, we need a heart of submission, and also secondly, by a hearing of the scriptures. The hearing of the scriptures. Remember, the dry bones represent the nation of Israel. And perhaps in our life, it represents the bad situation or situation that we cannot actually overcome. You know what God says to us in your situation? "I want you to use my word to help you in your situation. Prophesy to the dry bones. Use my word to help you understand your situation and how you can get out of it." God has the answer to every dry bone in your life. Do you believe that? As pastor, I'm fully convinced that if you have a dry bone in your situation, in your life, that if you just use God's word, God can give you that freedom that you need. It's a strange thing. You know, sometimes when people get into trouble, sometimes they will say, "Brother Johnny, I know that God can help me, but..." And there are situations whereby when you counsel a person using the Bible, I literally had an experience with a pastor and said, "Look, in order to deal with this, we need to use this." And the pastor said, "Don't quote to me God's word." It's like, hello? I thought God's word was the final authority. You know, Christians, we live our lives without God's word. When was the last time you read your Bible and believed what God said and applied it in your heart? When was the last time? Honestly, I'm asking you this because many Christians, if we don't take this seriously of a hearing of the scriptures and obeying it, I can tell you, 2014 will be just like 2013. Or you can grow physically, you can grow socially, you may have more friends, you may be more technical, but spiritually, you're not going to grow. Teenagers, are you listening? You make sure you have a daily plan in the reading of God's word, because you got more time than your dad and mom. And dad and mom is also trying to read God's word. But you, of all people, have time. So rather than playing with your Lego, spend 10 minutes, 20 minutes, read God's word. Use that time to fill your mind with God's word. Don't understand, never mind. Ask dad, ask mom. Mom and dad, we need to be ready to teach our children. When dad comes, our children come and say, "What does this verse mean?" If you don't know, never mind. Just say, "I don't know, but let's go and find out on the Sword Searcher. If you don't have the software, I give it to you." Read. Study to show yourself what? Approved unto God. And we need a hearing of God's word. Many Christians live defeated simply because they don't know God's word. Because Jesus said, Matthew 22:29, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Many Christians don't know how to handle life because they are not in a daily, consistent time in God's word. Do you believe that this Bible has every answer to your problems? If you do, then are you studying it? Are you coming for FBI? Huh? Sometimes we even take a Sunday Bible hour. Can I encourage members, when it's time for Sunday Bible hour, be there. Don't go anywhere else. Yeah, have your drink, come quickly. It's time for learning. I need to come. I know some of the brethren, yeah, they work, but they spend time, they prepare. Come learn. Those in FBI, make time to come and learn. We need an understanding of God's word, a hearing of God's word. In Luke chapter 8, verse 25, let me just apply this. I know I spoke a lot, but I just want to go back to God's word in Luke chapter 8, 25, whereby they were all in a boat and Jesus was with them, and of course there was a waves and all that. And then at the end of the time, after Jesus came the storm, the word of God tells us, Jesus, they say, "Where is your faith? Why didn't you believe me?" And you know what? Jesus spoke to the storm. Is that weird for you? Jesus spoke to the storm. You know what it means? You know why Jesus could speak to the storm? Does it mean that storms have ears? I mean, when big rain, they have ears? No. You know what the storms were doing? They were submitting to authority. Their creator. Peace. Be still. The Bible says the storm ceases. You think Jesus cannot do that in your life? But you know what? It's not what you think, it's what God says. It's what God says. You need to know what God says in your situation. You need to know what God says in your situation. You need a hearing of Scripture. Some of you, if I ask you a question right now, why is smoking wrong? Can you tell me? Do you have the Bible verse to back that up? Why should one man and one woman for the rest of your life? Because I can tell you, not mixed marriages, the alternate life, the homosexual marriage and all that is invading different parts of America and Europe. I can tell you, when it's the West, you'll come to here. Okay? The homosexuals are pushing their agenda very strongly. Parents, are you teaching your children why one man, one woman for the rest of your life? And that when it's two men, two women, it's sin against God. And that couple, upon the authority of God's word, will die and go to hell. Because God's not going to allow them to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Can you actually, children, do you know why one man, one woman for the rest of your life? Huh? Do you know why certain things is wrong based on God's word? Hearing of Scripture. A hearing of Scriptures. We need to hear God's word. Heart of submission. A hearing of Scripture. Many of us may not know what the Bible says about friendships, and that's why we have so many problems in our relationships, in school, at work, in a family, between husband and wife, in the local church. We need to know what the Bible says about this situation and then apply the word. I can tell you, just like Brother Long mentioned, the mummy nagged him, right? When he was young. Do this and do this. I know. You realize that many of us will have a good life if you just follow what God says. Amen? Marriages will be strong if you just follow what God says. Yes? Children will just obey their parents. Parents will just take their responsibility. If you just do what God says, you'll be fine. I had one pastor. He was my pastor in Australia. He's very strict. Very strict one. His name is Pastor Scott Charles. Everywhere he goes, he's very strict. We talk about the upright man. Okay? And you know what? He said something. You know, whenever he does what, and I respect him as my pastor, because everything he does, he said, "But Johnny, you need to stay with this word." And he was oftentimes ridiculed by his family members for being so straight. But he said one thing: whenever his family is in trouble, they always call him. I don't know about you, but that's a good testimony. Whenever they're in financial problems specifically, they will actually ask him for help. You say, "No, Brother Johnny, you just have to follow what financial principles God has in your life. You'll be fine." Like, don't spend more than you have, you know. Live within your means, be contented with what you have. These are all Bible principles. If you just live, rather than being covetous, rather than lusting after things. Now, this is a big materialism problem in Singapore, the teenagers and all that, wanting more handphones and stuff like this. Just be content with what you have. Put it this way, your great-grandfather, you don't even have this, we still make it, amen? And still grow strong, amen? And we still have values that last and transfer to us. We need a hearing of God's word, number two. Point number three, to help us overcome, we must have a heart of submission, a hearing of the scriptures. Number three, by immediate and complete obedience. In Ezekiel 37, verse 7 to 8, after God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bone, I want you to look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and he shall live. And I will lay sinews, means tendons, and I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And so, in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied, I preached as I was commanded. God doesn't ask us to do more. He just wants us to obey as it is. God just wants us to obey as he was commanded. And as the Bible says in verse 7, as he prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones come together. You know, there's this Negro spiritual about how the neck of bones connected with the spine bone, and the spine bone connected with the shoulder bones, and all that all came together, and all the rattling. And the idea is, Ezekiel, when you preach there, I'm going to bring life into the nation of Israel. And of course, one of the first signs of life is nation of Israel becoming a nation in 1948 in May. And so for us, God is saying, look, use the word of God, obey what I tell you to obey. Obey. If you're supposed to be contented, then be contented. If you're supposed to submit to authority in your family or wherever, then submit to authority. Okay? If you're supposed to speak evil of no man, then speak evil of no man. Just obey God the way he said it. By immediate and complete obedience. Let's look at Luke chapter 17, verse 14. I want to show you a story of a leper. What happened when he obeyed God immediately? There were 10 lepers. I think we all know the story. The 10 lepers. And they had leprosy. They saw Jesus walking and they shouted, Son of David, have mercy on us. Heal us, you know. And Jesus came to them. And he said in verse 14, and when he saw them, Luke 17, 14. When Jesus saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Go show yourselves unto the priests. That was the simple instruction of Jesus. I want to pause there for a while. Because sometimes God may ask us to do things that may seem, no, God, it doesn't make sense. Of course, in this situation, it does because he's supposed to show. But you know, Jesus didn't do anything. He just said, you ask me to heal you? Go and show yourself to the priests. You know, if the lepers were intellectual, wait, this is ridiculous. I know it's in part of the process. I know I have to show myself to the priest, but you haven't done anything to me first. You know what Jesus would say? Go and show yourself to the priest. You know what Jesus is saying? When you learn to obey me, the healing comes. Are you listening, Christians? Sometimes you want the whole plan. God says, no, you do what I tell you to do. And then the healing will come. And exactly, the Bible says in verse 14, and it came to pass, notice that phrase, yes, Mr. John? It came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. If I want to strengthen my knees, I need to do exercises. But I don't tell the physiotherapist, please help me strengthen my knees. Yeah, you go and do these exercises, then you will strengthen your knee. No, I want my knee to be strong now. No, you do your exercises, then it will be strong. Huh? As you are doing the exercises, your knees will get strong. God says, go, and then you'll be cleansed. Christians, are we willing to just take God and say, if God tells you, some of us just need to be baptized and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Just one small area of obedience. But if we cannot obey God there, then what of the rest? We want God's will in everything. God says, just do what I say first. I tell you of another leper, but don't have to turn there. 2 Kings chapter 5, this leper's name was Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian general who had leprosy. Okay, and he went there. You know how God have grace even on non-believers? Because he put an Israelite little girl in Naaman's household. And so, sir, if you want healing, there's a prophet in Israel. His name is Elisha. You go to him, he'll deal with you. He'll handle you. He'll take care of you. And so Naaman went. What did Elisha tell Naaman to do? Children, anyone? What did Elisha tell Naaman to do? Go and dip in the River Jordan 7 times. What did Naaman say? Okay, right? No. He said, you know what he said? He said, surely Elisha will come out and call lightning from heaven and heal me. We want all the spectacular. Well, this man was so wise. He said, sir, if Elisha asks you to go and conquer a mountain to get healed, you'll do it, right? He said, yeah, of course. But didn't Elisha just ask you to go and do a simple thing, just dip yourself? Then he said, okay. And guess what? First time, nothing happened. Second time, nothing happened. Third time, nothing happened. Fourth time, nothing happened. Fifth time, nothing happened. Sixth time, nothing happened. You do exactly what God tells you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. God says, get baptized, get baptized. Don't say, let me pray about it. Lord, I'm being spiritual. I need to get close to you first. No, God says, get baptized. Means get baptized. 7 times. You know exactly the 7th time what happened to Naaman's skin? His skin came out like Adele's. No Adele? Like baby skin. I can tell you, everyone will be... Can you imagine a Syrian general having baby skin? But you know, God blessed because even Naaman, someone who just plainly obeyed Elisha's word, was healed. Christian, let me ask you, is it hard to obey God? With God's spirit within you and the willingness and heart of submission, surrendering to God's plan with faith in His word, with a daily hearing, immediate obedience is actually pretty straightforward. You know, some of you who are searching for God's will, can I say this? Start obeying God in the small things. Just start where you are. Just start where you are. Last point. It is interesting because in verse 37, chapter 37, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9, the fourth point is by complete dependence on the Spirit of God. In Ezekiel 37, verse 9, then say he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Because in verse 8, as all the flesh all came out, there was no breath in them. Okay? God continues to say, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from 4 winds of breath and breathe upon this slain, and they may live. And so I prophesied, he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they live. So this is the nation of Israel. The 4 winds, wind in the Bible has an allusion sometimes to the Holy Spirit. In this situation, just the 4 winds bringing a nation of Israel. But in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, I believe it's in your verse. Zechariah 4, verse 6, does anyone know that verse? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I want us to understand, without Christ, we can do nothing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. But there's an important principle I want us to understand. You know, just now when I talk about obedience to God in your situation, you know, sometimes obedience to God doesn't necessarily mean God, I say again, will give you what you want. Obedience to God is our responsibility. What God chooses to do in your situation is His prerogative as God. Does it make sense? Okay? And this is an important thing because sometimes Christians mix up, God, I'm obedient to you. I had one friend who served, and he was an excellent person who served the Lord as a teenager, you know, for many years when I was just a young adult. He was serving. And he was serving God faithfully, and I think I shared in the Chinese church. Okay? He was serving God faithfully. Then after a few years of service, I still remember, I was taking lunch with him, with Brother Darren Wong and some of the other people. In a time when SSC, the food court was in the basement. How many remember? The food court was in the basement. So I still remember talking to him. And he was really slowly moving out from church. He doesn't want to come. I said, I just asked him point blank because we've been friends for so long. I said, why not serving God now? You know what his answer was? Because when I serve God, I thought I'll get what I want. And his problem was God didn't give him the girlfriend he wants. Hello, please don't serve God because you want boyfriend, girlfriend. Okay? That's also in the economy of God's will. You serve God because you love Him. And when you're not up to today, it's not serving God at all. Christians, don't serve God because of what you want. So when we obey God, remember, when you obey God, we don't always get what we selfishly want. But you know what? God will achieve His plan through our life. Look at Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Okay, for time, I'll just read. Remember the book of Esther? Esther was Queen Esther. He has been queen to King who? Big mouthful, Ahasuerus. Okay, King Ahasuerus, he was queen for 5 years. Okay, he was the favorite in the beauty contest. He was the queen. But there was a law of King Ahasuerus and the Persian court that no one, no queen is supposed to go into the presence of the king without the king telling them to. If you go in, what happens? You can get killed. All right? Haman, an evil schemer, wanted to kill the whole Jewish nation. Okay? Mordecai, who was the uncle who took care of Esther, found out about that. And there was great mourning because the entire nation of Israel was going to be destroyed. But you know, Queen Esther was totally oblivious. He didn't know anything because she was in the court. And then after that, but Mordecai was making such a scene that Queen Esther took notice and said, ask his servants to go and find. Hey, tell him to put on his clothing. It's not right. It's not right. And then Mordecai turned around and told the servant, you go and tell Queen Esther that if she doesn't do anything, we all die. Lord, don't think you can actually escape too. You know, what was Queen Esther's heart when he realized when her own people was at stake, when God's glory perhaps was at stake, and she is a Jew. And you know, that's something that's very interesting because as a Jew, she's loyal to Jehovah God first. You know what she said? Go tell my Mordecai, you and the people go in fast for 3 days and three nights. Don't drink, don't eat for 3 days and three nights. Me and my servants will do the same. And then I'll go in. And if I perish, I perish. God is looking for Christians who have that determination in his heart. God, I don't care if I don't get what I want. Your glory, Lord. Your glory, Lord. God is looking for Christians who are never dedicated to themselves. Because Jesus says, Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. You know, I preached on that a few weeks back, and God really touched my heart and said, Johnny, are you loyal to me and me alone? Thou shalt worship. The word worship means a total allegiance and loyalty to God. That His word is my command. His word is my command. And as Esther says, look, I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray, I'm going to plead the God of heaven, and I'm going in. And if I die, so be it. So be it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, same thing. When he stood facing the king, the most powerful king at that time, they said, we're not careful to answer in this manner. In other words, I'm not anxious to answer you. Daniel chapter 3. The God whom we serve are able to deliver us from this fire, and He will deliver us, thy hand, O king. That's what they said. But you know what I like in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, I believe he says, but if not, if God does not deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, be it known unto you, O king, we will not serve thy gods, neither the golden image in which he has set up. In other words, it says God, in other words, in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their heart is submitted. They heard the word of God, because thou shalt have no graven images. Neither thou shalt thou bow down unto them. Exodus 20, they were taught from young. There was a word of God in them. There was an allegiance to the king of this universe, Jehovah. And before this pagan king, they said, king, I've already settled. We're not careful to answer thee. In other words, I mean, we're not anxious. We're not full of care to answer thee. We know our God can deliver us. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, we will serve the king of the universe.
and we would rather die than obey you. You know what happened? Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Powerful testimony of a Christian's obedience and God's deliverance. You know, as far as, can I say this? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, at that particular point, they obeyed God at the risk of their lives. Yes? There was no guarantee that God is going to pull him out. There was no guarantee. But let us look at that for a while. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. I've already read that. I want us to, a few learning points. Number one, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remained true to God at the expense of their lives. And maybe for us as Singaporean Christians, are we willing to be loyal to God at the expense of our living? At the expense of our promotion? At the expense of things materially that may mean a lot to us here? That we say, God, if I have to lose that for your glory, I will. You know, in Singapore, the one people, one nation, one Singapore. You see that? One people, one nation, one Singapore, the mighty dollar sign. What if we lose that for God? Are you willing? What if we lose that for God? Number one, these people remain true to God at the expense of their lives. They are willing to remain true to God even if God's deliverance does not happen. We want to be delivered. What if God doesn't? Are you willing to still say, I'll remain true to God? You know, some of the soldiers here we have, thank God for them. You know why? When they go to war, there's no guarantee they'll come back. But they're still willing to go. Why? They're fighting for a cause, their families, their country. That's why I have full confidence in our military. This is not propaganda. But we do have men who are dedicated to protecting our nation. I'm sure in the Philippines and different countries as well. But you know, when they go, there's no guarantee they'll come back. If they come back, it'll be a bonus. But if not, they gave their lives to save their family and their homeland. In the same way, are you willing to do that for God in the spiritual sense this year? What is God's purpose even if he doesn't deliver us? Look at verse 25. I just want to touch on this before we finish. Even when God doesn't deliver us, is there a purpose? Look at verse 25. He answered, no, King Nebuchadnezzar was very angry. He heated the furnace 7 times hotter and threw those people. In fact, those men who threw the tree, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, what happened to them? God killed them. God killed them. It was so hot. So when the 3 Hebrew children was inside, King Nebuchadnezzar said, huh, who is that? Huh? Verse 25, he said, King Nebuchadnezzar asked his people, Lord, did we not cast 3 men into the fire, burning fire furnace? He said, yeah, king. Lord, I see 4 men loose. And I want us to take note of the word loose. Remember, they bound them and threw them in. Christians, in the trial, they were set free. Because God burned off the ropes of this world. Sometimes God doesn't take us out of the furnace because I want to get rid of the ropes of this world that have bound you for so long. And guess who was in the furnace with them? The dear Savior. Because a pagan king looked in and said, the fourth is like the Son of God. Jesus, you know what? Your dry bones may still be dry, but Jesus walks with you in that valley. He wants to burn off the ropes of this world. The purpose of God putting you through sometimes those things is, I don't want you to go through your life not free. And sometimes freedom from impurities, freedom from things that are not worthless, must go through the fire for it to be burnt away before we can come forth as gold. Amen? Amen? And so, you know, oh, we need to work on this. We need to trust God. Trials of life. And in this purpose, God says, burn off the ropes of this world. But you know what? The next thing, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28,
After the whole saga, after the whole episode, King Nebuchadnezzar made a decree. The first decree was, if you don't worship this image, which is me, you die. You know what's the second decree? I read that, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that they trusted in him. Notice that word. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted, put their faith in him, and changed the king's word, and submitted their bodies. They might not serve, worship any god except their own God. In verse 20, a new decree is, if anyone say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same hour will be cast into the burning fiery furnace. Because it says, who is God? Who is this God that can deliver such as one? You know what's the second purpose? It can be through your valley of dry bones as you submit to God, that through your life, other people may be pointed to Christ. A pagan king confessed and make a decree to worship the King of Heaven because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith. Men who would be loyal to God despite what the world says, despite what the society says, despite the conformity the society fought. In fact, they were being, can you imagine, these are the leaders, you know. And if the leader go against the king, a big problem in the kingdom. But these leaders were willing to stand for God. Guess what? God promoted them. I've been a Christian for so many years. One thing I know about God, I think Brother Denzel shared before, I think many of us hold this, if you honor God, God will honor you, whether by life or by death. Some Christians gave their lives to the mission field. Whole villages trusted Christ after that. A waste of life? To us it may be, but not to God. As we close, oh, one more thing, God through us will bring glory to his name. If God chooses to restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, praise his name. If God chooses otherwise, in other words, you don't get back all the things that you have, Christians still praise his name. Because he knows what's best. He knows what's best. Will the dry bones live in your life? For Israel, it will, because God has already promised that. For us, will the dry bones live in our situation? Will the situations in our life change? Can I say this? I just talk about salvation of our loved ones. You know, when there's life, there's hope. When there's life, there's hope. Don't give up on the salvation of your family members. Never. And so for those who have Chinese-speaking family members, on the 9th of February, we already have planned evangelistic outreach for the Chinese folks. Pastor Jacob Tan from Shalom Baptist Church will be coming to preach the Chinese outreach message. From now, I'm announcing it, pray in your hearts. If you have non-believing Chinese folks, neighbors, friends, enemies, bring them. And we need to pray. Don't give up. You know, we need to fast and pray, because some of our family members are hard nuts, yes? But God can change that situation, amen? God can change that situation. No, but for God to move, we need a heart of submission, hearing of the scriptures, immediate obedience, and dependence on the Spirit. In other words, it's no longer you that live. But just as Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen in my life situation, my family situation, but God, you know. And so I submit myself at the beginning of 2014. And Lord, whatever that's going to take place this rest of the year, God, your word will be the lamp to my feet, light to my path. Lord, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I will pray without ceasing. Lord, I will be faithful to the things you called me to be faithful to. I will obey my parents as you've taught me to. I will obey whatever instruction, God, you taught me. I will make right in whatever areas I have to make right. I will take away things I'm not supposed to do. I will put on things I'm supposed to do. God, I submit to you because, God, you know what's going to happen. And perhaps, Lord, whatever situations you're putting in my life is to get my attention that I might come back to you. For 2014, will your life be different? Is there a submission? Will you surrender completely to Christ?
Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And I pray, Lord, you know, as human, I won't be able to present this message to the heart as clearly as I should. But no, with the prophet Ezekiel looking at the dry bones, Lord, you've impressed on my heart, because perhaps there are people here that may have segments, they may not have total valley of dry bones, but some areas there has been a pain for years that discouraged them for years. There's a stumbling block to their faith for years. And God, now they are starting to still bring it into 2014. God, is there someone that you are trying to reach? With your eyes closed, heads bowed. Pastor, can I just ask this question? Is there someone who is bringing some dry bones into 2014? You know it's there. But you know, over the years, you kind of just left it. Is God speaking to your hearts once again? That, son of man, can these bones live? Are we willing to say, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, I'm submitting to you. I'm putting my life in your hands from this year onwards. Is there someone who will say, Pastor Johnny, pray for me, that God will use his word as I study it, and God will use his Holy Spirit as I submit to it, to change the situations according to his will in my life? Is there someone who will put up your right hand and say, Pastor Johnny, pray for me? Amen, I see that hand. Is there anyone? Put it up and put it down and then pray in your hearts, God, I give you this area. Two brethren that put up their hands. Anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Just put it up and put it down. Amen, I see that hand too. Amen, I see those hands. Put it up and put it down. Pray in your heart, God. Only, amen, I see that hand too. Don't bring the dry bones into 2014. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Amen, young people, married people, people who are sincere about walking the life of faith. Is there anyone else? Maybe I just, for those who put up your hand, let me just ask you this question without opening your eyes. What if God don't grant you what you want? Are you still willing to be loyal to him? I pray that God will seal that in your hearts. Is there anyone else who say, Brother Johnny, pray for me? Amen, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. The valley of dry bones, Lord, we know that one day we will see the fulfillment of that promise, because, Lord, what you promise, you will bring to pass. And one day we will see Israel right there, right on top, ruled by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, restored to the glory that, Lord, you intended it to be. But God, in a small way, in our own personal lives right now, I thank you for the brethren who have put up their hands. I do not know what decision they have made. I do not know what area. Perhaps it's something they really struggled with. Perhaps it's with something that happened years ago, something that they have not let go, something that the Lord, they really is become a dry bone. But God, I pray that even as they have a heart of submission to you now, even as they learn to hear your word more by reading it and studying it and then applying it to that situation and their lives, that as they learn to obey it and have total, complete obedience on you, on the Holy Spirit, that Father, in time, it will come to pass that you will set them free from this place, from the thing that has bound them for so long. Father, thank you for what you're going to do in this brethren's life. And for the rest of us in the ambassador, Lord, I pray that even if the world takes away everything from us, they cannot take away our faith. Like Esther, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Lord, we pray for a people dedicated, Lord, to being loyal to you. That, Father, in all our lives, we will learn to put you first, irregardless of how much it will cost us. But God, that we will take the steps of faith. Lord, we thank you for the attendance and the attention of these people on the first service of the year. And Lord, restore unto us the years that the locusts have eaten. Father, I claim this promise for every one of us. For those who have broken dry bones, I pray that you will restore them. Lord, I pray that those whose lives are being messed up by this world and the decisions they have made, and right now, Lord, you are bringing to their mind and helping them see that they need to be in submission to you. Lord, help them to walk clean with you this year, to give their hearts to you first. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Father, I pray specifically for a victorious life for every Christian here, that in everything they do,
They will seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things, Lord, will be added unto you, unto us. Because God, we know you'll provide all needs. But you want us to put you first. So I pray for every Christian who is here, whether it's Singaporean, Filipino, Lord, it doesn't matter because we are one in Christ. I pray, Lord, that as they leave this place, they will decide in their hearts, Lord, I will put you first. I pray for those who struggle to make the right decisions, that they will have the heart of submission to you and your power first, and then give their hearts totally to you. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray for one who has never trusted Jesus, and perhaps, Lord, they are pushing away that decision. Lord, I pray that they will not push the decision away for too long, because we know you're coming soon too. So, Father, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray you bless Ambassador as we seek by your grace to be the light of the North, that people may come to Jesus Christ and be encouraged to grow in Christ spiritually. Both as a church, we'll grow in numbers, and also spiritually, we'll grow close to you, Lord, as one people, that we'll be encouraging one another. Yeah, Lord, we have different levels of faith, but Lord, we'll walk with one another in the love that you've given to us. And Father, 2013 will be a time, thing of the past as we move forward for you. Thank you, Lord, as we face the challenges of this year. Help us to know you've gone before us already. Help us to know you're already at the end. And you are just asking us to learn to trust you by faith. Help us this year to dare to trust you, Father. I pray that everyone who has sat in this service by the end of the year, wherever they will be, Lord, will look back and say, I've learned to trust God in 2014. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. And may we receive feedback with regards to this at the end. Thank you for what you're going to do. Bless everyone now as we depart into our own place. Help us to learn to walk by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.